This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. The broadcasters of your area, in voluntary cooperation with federal, state, and local authorities, have developed this system to keep you informed in the event of an emergency. If this had been an actual emergency, the attention signal you just heard would have been followed by official instructions.
Well, everything seems to be working well so far.
Yeah.
Except for a few feedbacks here and there. That's a new element we have in the mix now.
Yeah, that's a brand new element brought to you by my headphones.
We never thought we'd have that much power. We were pushing enough power up to do that, but now we are.
Yeah.
Just don't turn your head no more.
I'll try not to.
So I have these new clamps.
I know, and you'll clamp me.
My big red clamps. I'm going to clamp you right over right there.
Okay.
Well, you might like that.
Well, I'll try it later in private, and I'll let you know. You guys, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
And, of course, we have on the phone George Lutz of the Amityville Horror. And we were discussing things that, in the previous segment, we were discussing things about...
just the idea
ghost hunting and the way society has changed. How if he had needed this help that he needed back then in 1976, if he needed this help now, I think he probably could have received
much more help.
Yeah. And it's because of technology, it's because of society, it's because of cable
communication too, I would think.
Communications and
communication has changed so drastically from back in the 70s.
Yeah, everything is instantaneous now. It really is the fast food of information nowadays.
Well, long distance calls were a financial concern to anyone. I mean, you really thought it out before you made a call to California.
Yes, you did. I remember those days.
Well, my biggest concern about the whole thing still would be this idea that back then, this was still, even though there was things happening, we had people like Ed and Lorraine Warren going around doing work like this, it was still a taboo subject that if you were to go, hey Freddie, I saw a ghost last night, he'd be like, you're crazy, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk about this with you. You're going nuts. You're seeing things, and that's how it was just kind of warded off. And there wasn't there wasn't any more questions. Now there's more questions. If somebody comes up to me, for example, and says, "Hey Scott, believe me, and a lot of people do come up to me, and I'm the person to talk to, apparently. Hey, I saw a ghost." The first thing I say now is, well, you know, what it feel like? What was the impressions you were getting? What was this? What was that?
What did
you
look like? What did you see? Suddenly you get the third degree. Yeah.
Yeah. Give me the details, you know, as opposed to, you're nuts. Get out of here. You're seeing
it's
stuff.
Changed.
You're crazy. I know for you it had to have been a lot worse, obviously, because you're in the house, George, but you also owned a business at the time, and you ran the business. You were the boss. So this stuff was going to bleed into your professional life. If you started discussing this with your employees, they'd start thinking, well, what's going on with my boss here? Your personal life, like you said, this was compounding on top of all the elements of your life outside of this house too. And that
one of the one of my that's interesting you brought that up again. The one of my employees from back then, John McCarthy, who lives in Florida now, got in touch with me about 6-8 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, probably longer now. Might be 90 days. For the first time in all these years. He did the original land survey for us for the house. In New York, you have to get a land survey when you change title on a property. And John came into the chat room on one of the websites that we have, AmityvilleHorrorTruth.com.
Mm-hmm.
We have a forum in there. It's a chat room. And Thursday night about, I'm going to guess now, about 70 days ago or so, he came in there. And told the story to the people that were in the chat room at the time. First time ever that he had told anyone publicly of what went on for him when he did the survey. He had never told me this story. And he had... One of the requirements when you have a house on the water is that you have to get the basement floor elevation above sea level, relative to sea level.
Mm-hmm.
And he had dropped his tape down the basement stairs, and the tape had dropped out of his hands, and he had to go down and get it. The tapes, at that time, we used to buy them from a company called Lufkin, They were $100 or so. I mean, these are very precise and very important, and you don't lose these. You know, you pay them out of your own salary.
Mm-hmm.
So he went down the stairs to get them, and this is in the dark, and he's down in the basement in the house. The fellow that was with him to do the survey was sitting out in the car waiting for him. He heard footsteps on the second floor. He went down after the tape, was crawling around, found the tape on the floor, and a voice behind him told him to get out. At the same time finding the tape, he found a sack, just a small cloth sack, and he took that with him. And he got out of the house, and he got out to the car, and he opened the sack, and the sack had silver dollars in it.
Silver dollars?
Now, this is after the murders. This is after the house has sat vacant for a year. This is after the family has come in and cleaned out the final things that needed to be moved out before we moved in. This is after Kathy and I had seen the house a couple of times before making an offer on the house.
Mm-hmm.
And here he is finding a sack of coins on the floor.
Something that they would have seen sitting
obviously,
on the floor,
because
they would have gone into the basement to clear it out and had the lights on.
Mm-hmm.
The day we moved into the house, we found hundreds of pills in the carpet and on the floor and in the by the baseboards and all over the second floor. All kinds of pills.
Just strewn about in they were in the carpeting, you said?
In the house. Second floor.
Wow.
Why weren't these found before? Why weren't they cleaned up? Why weren't they... They don't show up in the autopsy photos, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Where did those come from? And that's the day we moved in.
It's just
another story, another Amityville story. And here it is, 30 years later, John found the website Amityville Horror Truth, and went there, got a hold of the webmaster, and emailed me through him, and then told the story, and came into the chat room, and on his own told the story.
Well, we call that evidence.
Yeah,
we do. That's what ghost hunters would call it. It's another bullet item kind of thing in a report, and that is evidence. It's another eyewitness testimony. You know, speaking of 30 years later,
yes,
they're making a new movie.
I heard that.
Yeah, they're making an I do indeed hope it's going to be better than the White Noise movie, because that was a bit disappointing for me. What do you think of them making yet another movie? I imagine the first movie had to intrude on your life quite a bit, but the second movie, what do you think of that?
Uh-oh. Oh, no. George, if we can't talk about this, just tell us.
No, we can. No,
okay,
we can.
All right.
MGM is making the movie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Free speech still exists in this country. There's no, I've been accused by MGM of being a hostile competitor of theirs, which I find a very interesting statement. This was in one of the moving papers recently. They sued me last year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
They sued me because we questioned their legal right in a letter to do a remake.
Mm-hmm.
And we questioned it for a number of different reasons, and we asked basically to discuss this with them.
Mm-hmm.
After we resent the letter three times, they got an attorney, the largest law firm here in Nevada, and sued me.
Just because you wanted to talk to them about it?
No, they wouldn't talk.
You came to them, go, hey, can we
discuss
this?
We just wanted to discuss this with them and let them know what our point of view was with this and see if there was a way to come to some kind of understanding.
Well, you think that they may be like, well, maybe he can give us some help with this.
Yeah, why wouldn't they be seeking your help?
I mean, yeah, maybe we can discuss this
instead of the opposite, trying to alienate you.
I mentioned the Academy Awards before. The Golden Globes were on this year also, and two movies were made this last year about true stories.
Uh-huh.
And during the Golden Globes, two movie stars that depicted real-life people, real-life events, we're talking about how important it was to do research and to get in touch with the real people.
Right.
For them, it was everything in terms of doing the most accurate movie that they could. And what has been such a disappointing part of all of this is that MGM has made no effort in any way, shape, or form to do that here.
So basically, they just see a cash cow. Let's move on it and put it out and cash in, per usual. I mean, I'm not trying to knock the movie industry.
Well, that's Hollywood.
Hollywood, you know.
Oh, well, it gets more interesting. It turns out that Orion Film, we had sued years ago after Amityville Horror came out as a movie with American International Pictures. They eventually sold their company to... Sam Arkoff sold the company to Filmways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Filmways got in a bit of financial problems and it eventually ended up with Orion Pictures. In the process of the original movie coming out, one of the things that happened was that Jay Anson, who wrote the original book, sold the movie rights to CBS for a TV movie without our permission. People at AIP that got a hold of the book decided they wanted to make the movie, and they got an option right, got an option deal done with Jay Anson. Then they came to us and told us they were going to make the movie, and we said, no, we don't think you're going to do that because Jay Anson owns one-third of the copyright for this book. Kathy and I each own a third each, and we say what are known as sequel rights. AIP sent of the movie, but that would be the only Amityville Horror movie they would make.
So at least you were limited down now to
Well, you never get one. Sequel rights, so you need to understand this was a very, very unusual thing to have happen.
Wow.
So Kathy and I walked out of that with very little money compared to everyone else, but we did have the sequel rights. Still do. The
Excellent.
In the process, Dino De Laurentiis comes along and sees a good thing and says, well, I'm going to make an Amityville 2 movie. And their working title changed while they were making that movie, and they called it at one point Amityville Horror 2 and used our names to publicize it.
Wow.
So
wow.
In 1982, we sued them. And that was a 12-year lawsuit, and was settled in 1993.
My God.
That was settled with Orion Pictures because that's how the rights had changed hands by then. Orion Pictures' film library was eventually picked up by MGM. But Orion Pictures as a company, as a legal entity, still exists today. And federal law, Title VII, says specifically that you cannot, will not, transfer interests and copyrights unless they're done by written form of memorandum. Which means you got to do this stuff in writing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
MGM never did that.
Wow.
So they've gone into production, produced, and finished this movie, and they've done pre-screenings of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they've advertised it all over the place. They've got announcements all over the web for a year now. Doing this remake that we took issue with, and they don't have the right to do it, from our point of view, from what we can understand.
Well, it's amazing.
You're not allowed to have a... I guess you're allowed to, but the shareholders would sure be interested in a publicly traded company the size of MGM, that they're doing verbal agreements to make movies
that's
violation of Title VII.
Unheard of.
Well, it's unheard of in the first place. You do not do verbal agreements or something like that.
See, the...
Talking millions of dollars.
The one thing that... Because we had only talked about that one movie once with the folks in Hollywood, the screenwriter.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And we had talked about one movie once, and everything had to be on the up and up. But that wasn't that wasn't MGM, though. That was a different company.
This gets more interesting than you can imagine.
Wow.
this is just the beginning of this lawsuit.
Man.
So we'll see how this goes.
That'll be interesting. So there's more to the movie. So when you see it, or
it doesn't have the right. I don't mean to limit this problem to just whether they have the right to do this, but the content is.
They never.
The other part of the getting the sequel rights was we got a definition for what the sequel will be.
Mm-hmm.
That and this was really hard fought. It was hard negotiations back then, because they were chomping at the bit to do this movie, and we did not have the resources to deal with them legally, properly. But one of the things that was so important was to say, to get language in our agreement with AIP that would pass down to whenever, whoever, whenever, was a specific definition for what a remake would entail, what the content would be. We knew we didn't have control. You never have control over the content of a movie once you sell them the rights.
Right.
We did get a limiting clause that said that it had to be limited to the same basic characters, same basic events. You had to depict the same basic events with the same basic characters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with the new version that Michael Bay's company has made in cooperation with, Dimension and Miramax, and Miramax, I think, is part of a distribution deal, and MGM, what they've done here is they have, from everything we can determine, they've strayed way far from original content of the book, original content of the original movie, and that then doesn't become the legal definition that we had worked out and negotiated and agreed to and thought was always going to be honored by these people. With regard to what a sequel would be, what a remake would be.
So it goes from being a paranormal nightmare to a legal nightmare, and it continues on in your life.
Well, I think it's been some like 13 lawsuits now.
Oh, man. Well, we only have a few minutes. I don't want to get into a really, really lengthy discussion, because I know we're pressed for time. But what makes them think just that they can do that with and have any basis in reality if they're not talking to you, if they're straying from even
they're
the
not
book?
Concerned with that. They're not. You need to understand that they're not concerned with that. Now here's the we're on a program that 30 years ago couldn't have existed, wouldn't have existed, and for so many reasons, technologically as well as attitudes.
Exactly.
And 30 years from now, it's going to be even better.
Exactly. I hope so.
And some point, the movie going public is going to say, oh, that's what you did? Well, we don't want to go see that. Some point, the movie going public is going to say, they're going to make a law, hopefully someday, some way, that says you're going to adapt a nonfiction story, then you're going to adapt it properly. You don't get to do things in the name of creativity just because you want to. You're talking about real people's lives here and people that still are alive, and this is wrong.
Wow. Yeah, I do. The one thing that I look for, that I, as a movie-going person, and I go see very few movies, actually, but one thing that I look for is I try to find, in these ones that are based on real events, I try to find, you know, the real events. I want to see what happened, what was going on, and there's, you know, even the original Amityville Horror, which was, by the way, and still is, probably a classic for us who engage in this kind of hobby.
It actually gets worse. MGM got involved with some kind of special re-release of the publishing of the book, and they had no rights of any kind to publishing. They did this with Simon and Schuster.
The author of the book, who wrote originally Amityville?
Jay Anson wrote the original book. He died in 1980.
But copyrights and rights like that last for 100 years even after death, don't they?
Yeah, so I think it's 75 and maybe 100.
Oh,
now.
75, okay. Well, either way...
I am the single surviving copyright holder of the book, but Jay Anson's family estate still owns their percentage.
Exactly.
And Kat McCathy died earlier this last year. Her estate still owns her percentage, of course.
Exactly. But and nobody was going to take it.
No rights were ever transferred to... No publishing rights.
Wow.
Were in the book itself were ever transferred to anyone else. Yet MGM got involved with Simon & Schuster and made an announcement earlier this year. Well, we found out that Simon & Schuster republished the book in 1990 without ever accounting to us for it or telling us about it. Without the internet, we never would have found out about this.
Right.
Now Simon & Schuster, when we've taken issue with a few things that they were doing about this and this new... they were going to put it, some kind of new forward in the book, and we had no idea what that was going to contain. We got in touch with them, and they strung us out for over 4 months this last year. So that now here we are at the point where this remake is coming out, and they refuse to allow, not just for them to republish it, they refuse to allow us to republish the book.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God, probably more accurate.
It's a nightmare. It's a lingering nightmare for 30 years.
Well, it goes on and on and on. I have what are known as Amityville days, where I actually spend 3, 4, 5 days a week doing nothing but dealing with some of this stuff. And so we're looking right now. We're looking for an ebook publisher, and we're going to publish this book, put it on my website, and we'll make it available to people no matter what.
That's amazing.
We sold originally something like 16 million copies of this book worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
It's an important book in that it documents for the first time an event that is unlike any other in so many ways. And a lot of those people are still alive. A lot of those witnesses are still here to say what happened to them. And I will not allow this to be silenced while I'm still alive.
And also stretched and reworked because
distorted. I will fight forever when it comes to calling it Amityville Horror.
Wow, that is amazing what you're going through, George. I know you've got to go because our time is up. But I do have to say I do hope if you're feeling better next week, we would love to have you back on. We can talk more about that. We can talk more about the events, you know, for another hour.
And if people want to email in questions to you guys, that'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
Let's deal with some of those. I'm sure there's a bunch of them out there.
Yeah, because this would be more like a little teaser, and people can, like, actually formulate questions. We could just ply you with questions about this stuff. But, yeah, if possible, if you're feeling better, we would love to reconvene.
Oh, I will be feeling better. I've got about 50% of my medicine done, and I go back in on Tuesday to the VA to get some more stuff.
Excellent. Well, George, hang on the line for just 1 minute because we're going to go to a break, and then and we'll go to break, and then I'll let you go. I want to say though, before we go to break and let you go, I want to say thank you so very much, and I am very much looking forward to next week.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you both for having me. I really appreciate this.
Because that's amazing to get to talk about one of our favorite stories, and you. I have absolutely no doubt in my heart that you are the owner of this story because it happened to you, and you're the one. I mean, I
heard a story. I heard a story this last week about people getting all upset about what somebody said recently that wasn't involved in this directly, and some kind of public forum radio station or something. And you got to stop getting upset about that because they weren't there, so what difference does it make what they say?
Right.
We were there. We know what happened.
Wow. Let's go to break, Will. And George, and thank you so very much.
Thank you.
What's up?
Diane Goodman-Larson, and if you want to find me with regard to Mars and time travel, you can go to www.doortoatlantis.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk. Highway run,
listen to W Paranormal Talk Radio Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Pioneer Radio Network. For show information, visit WParanormal.com.
Ghost Hunting, my ethereal anti-drug.
This is Pat Pichu of the Bell Witch website, www.bellwitch.org, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
You're all going to die down here.
Well, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Will, and Doug is missing by myself. He's left me.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, you took too much time.
Sorry about that. Am I in the mix?
Yeah, you are.
Oh, I am loud, too. I'm going to bring down my volumes. Okay. That was George Lutz. We got to speak with him for what seemed like the shortest hour.
Yeah.
On the planet about Amityville Horror. Let's talk about it. Will, what do you remember about Amityville Horror?
You know, it has been a long, long time since I've seen that movie. I read the book a long time ago, too. Mm-hmm. But it's... I
was
really need
to
take it back
than
out.
The movie?
I was a kid.
Yeah?
I was young.
Yeah?
Oh, man.
Well...
It was definitely different, but... Every you know, book to movie is.
Well, yeah. Although, I have to say, J.K. Rowling's series about Harry Potter, I think the movie is extremely close to the book.
Oh, yeah. I mean, every time you think of a book to movie, everyone always thinks like Stephen King, because there's most of his books have gone to movie form.
Hey, who wants to help us test the phone thing? Because if anybody wants to, yeah, give us a buzz. What is it? 1-800... I don't even remember the phone number.
1-888-520-1969.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And if you call, we'll hopefully hear a phone call come through our
headphones. I gotta turn that back up, I guess, don't I?
Well, only if we use it.
Well, yeah.
Because if nobody calls, then we won't do it. But,
Well, that didn't take long.
Wow. That was the thing. Flip the switch up.
Ah, that was horrible.
That sounded awful. Welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Okay, your deadline is Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
For what, the head count?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Okay. Scott and I are going to be sitting down and doing this on Tuesday. You got to give us a couple of days for people to get back to us.
Excuse me. I'm already extending your deadline. Months ago, I told you that by March, the end of February, I wanted a count.
Give us the Friday.
Dead air.
Friday.
Dead air never sounded so good. Friday?
Fine.
Okay.
Fine. I will give you until Friday. If I don't have a count by Friday, Will, you're not invited to the party.
I guess you're running the soundboard then, huh?
That's fine.
You guys...
Then I can do a lap dance for Doug and unplug the show.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Shirtless. If I remember right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a shirtless lap dance, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, I take that back.
You guys, this is Bonnie. Who is on the phone.
Oh, yeah, I guess you should say that.
Our GT support ho.
This is Bonnie, the GT support ho, yes. And she is also the hostess of the long-running now GT anniversary series of parties.
Yes, mm-hmm. They're fun.
Yeah, this will be.
I'm the only one crazy enough to let you people take over my house.
And also, we do the MGB/GT Christmas parties there.
Right, right.
Yes, and I get drunk and throw up.
That was an interesting, brand new feature to the Christmas party.
I know. I think we should have it every time.
Yeah, but we've been accused of having a lot of fun before. You know.
Well. You don't say.
Yes. Especially a couple weekends ago. So let's have a lot of fun at this thing coming up a couple weekends from now, right? Have a lot of fun.
I can't wait.
Well, you know.
I'm going to be over at noon.
You are not. You're going to be standing on the porch, dude.
Hey, Bonnie, I'm glad you're on the phone. Because okay. I have a question for you.
Okay.
We had talked last Wednesday, to Mike of Indiana Ghost Trackers. Mm-hmm. And previous mm-hmm. to that on Sunday, we had talked to Sean, also of Indiana Ghost Trackers, about mm-hmm. the weekend that we had out in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, because you're the only one, I think, of the GT crew that has not been, was she on the air about it? No, she couldn't make it. So I want to know what you thought of that weekend. How did it go? What kind of evidence did you get? And what did you think of the crazy IGT people?
Well, where do I start with that interesting list? You know me. I still want to be evil right now, but I won't.
Thank you for not.
As far as the weekend, it was probably one of the best weekends I have ever spent with Scott Al.
Wow, now that's saying a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
That is saying a lot.
I didn't want to kill him. And actually, no, seriously, I had a great time in the Bailey house. As far as what I got, I haven't even gone through everything yet, because as soon as I got home, they put me on overtime, but I still have a ton of tapes that I have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
As far as those crazy IGT people, I have to say they're the best bunch of people that I have ever hung out with outside of the GT crew, and I would gladly go anywhere with them.
Excellent.
Well, there's plans in the works for a couple different things, so.
So I hope we get to go ghost hunt with them again. Yeah.
But yeah, seriously, it was a great time. I'm really glad we went. I think we all needed a break.
Yeah.
From our regular lives.
It was the ultimate ghost hunting break. I have to agree.
I slept a lot.
You slept a lot, Will.
Will slept a whole lot, but I have to say that was, and I think someone mentioned this on the show last week. That was probably the most peaceful sleep I have had in a long time.
Scott
and even though I was sleeping next to Scott, it was very peaceful.
Oh, no, and that is saying something.
I slept next to Sean. It was very peaceful.
Well, I slept on the other side of Sean.
Right.
Yeah.
A little menage a trois going in the dining room.
Yeah, I got pictures. Oh.
But I have to say, I didn't sleep either any better or any worse. Myself than at home. I know the first night, Friday night, I did indeed dream, and I dreamt that I was ghost hunting, though not specifically at the Sally House. I just dreamt in general that I was ghost hunting. So it must have been subconsciously worked up for me
mm-hmm.
into where I was like, ooh, I'm ghost hunting, and then it came out in my dreams. But the Saturday night, I don't remember dreaming anything in particular. So it probably was just a good night's sleep. So but I don't remember actually dreaming anything on Saturday. But
well, I know when we got there, I slept like a couple of hours,
and then I know.
And then I slept I went to bed early.
Mm-hmm.
And slept late.
Well, that's all you did all weekend.
And then I woke up. Then I woke up for like 2 hours. I slept like.
And then you went back to sleep.
Went back to sleep for another 3 hours upstairs because Bonnie and Scott had,
Scott L. did the same thing on Sunday. Scott L. had gotten up and then went back to sleep, and then we had to get him up to take me to the airport.
Right.
I thought. Was that true? Yeah, because we were watching him on the monitors.
Yeah, I just told
yeah,
you something about that house.
True.
I was
we
sleeping
watching.
A lot.
We've got lots of tape of Will sleeping. It's the most exciting footage you could ever watch in your life.
Well, look, he's scratching himself again.
He dreams.
I have
one
to
a lot.
Say though, there were some comments made about going to sleep with cameras rolling, but.
Hey, it kept everybody's propriety intact, I think.
Thank God, because I was sleeping next to Scott. We don't want to go there.
And that's because Scott L. did not bring anything to sleep on, right?
Correct.
But yeah. Mm-hmm. I, of course, brought my inflatable mattress.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked out really well. Except I didn't bring my air pump. So I had to inflate the entire thing by lung.
And he only has half of one left.
Yeah. I think I have an eighth of a lung. When you combine
and
the two.
I felt so sorry for you that I stepped on it while you were trying to blow it up.
Thanks. That helped. So,
yeah. Well, you know. That's what a support hole would do.
You are so supportive.
I know.
Did you? And you have a pre-release version of the Ghostly Talk T-shirt, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Have you worn it out in public yet?
Actually, I have orders for you guys for T-shirts.
Really?
Because I've worn it out so much.
Oh wow, that's awesome!
Everybody loves the Ghostly Talk T-shirt.
Well, we have to thank Gorilla 72 for the Dead Air Never Sounded So Good on the back, and.
I'll do that on Tuesday.
When we get them, because we don't physically have any more than the pre-orders, the ones for us that we had gotten to see if they would come out okay. So we physically don't have, you know, masses of these T-shirts yet.
So we had to do pre-order.
Right. So, yeah, I guess we'll have to do pre-order. But, yeah, pretty amazing, Bonnie. I'm so glad. Thank you for wearing it out in public.
Oh, no problem. That's my job.
And so you haven't been through your pictures or through the tapes or the pictures or anything like that to any really great extent, right?
I haven't overanalyzed them because basically I've been sleeping and working.
Right.
But I'm being really anal about going through the videos because it is the 4 split screen.
Right.
So I'm going through each video 4 times.
Oh, okay. So that's how you're attacking it. You're going to be watching like screen 1 the entire time, then rewind and watch screen 2 the entire time, and then rewind and so. Oh, that's really good. Actually, that's a good methodology.
Mm-hmm. That way, I don't miss anything, and then when I hand it all over to Will. Anything that jumps out at me, I'm going to write down what tape it's on, what screen it's on, what time in the video it's on, and then I'm just going to hand everything over to Will.
Are the videos time-stamped?
I don't think so, but I can keep track of how far into the video I am.
Oh, because like on the VCR, the little timer thing? Or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. All right. I just wondered how that goes, because I'm not assigned any of those videos. Thank you. Heavens, because I've got hours and hours and hours of audio to go through.
You want some? I've got 5.
Really? I've got hours and hours and hours of audio to go through.
I have 7 hours of audio that I have to go through.
You have 7 hours of audio plus however many hours of video you have to go through?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
We collect a lot of stuff in that house for one weekend.
Yep.
We were busy little bees.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank God we all found time to shower.
Well, I didn't actually shower on Sunday because Sunday I was going home anyway. So
that's it.
I'm going.
It's nice to shower in your own shower
and get home and shower there. You know where I'm comfortable.
You don't want to discuss you not being there the entire time.
I do apologize, but.
By the way, Doug.
Yes.
I have been trying to put up pictures.
Oh, that's right. I got to fix the website.
From the weekend, and I can't put them up.
Okay. Yeah, there's evidently something missing on the new server that I have to install, some graphics library or something. That's what Scott L. was saying.
Yeah, so you need to get on that.
Okay. I will get on that so that we can get the photos up.
I talked to Will last week about it, and he said you needed to fix it. And I tried again, I think, yesterday or today, and it's still not fixed.
Okay. I will try it. I will try to fix it, and I'll dance you off an email.
That'll be great.
Or I'll give you a buzz on the telephone.
Right, because we never talk.
Yeah, that's it. We never talk.
We don't. Oh, by the way, this has no bearing on anything. I just have to mention it because it's a strange occurrence of things in my life.
Okay.
You know how my week's been going, right? With me having trouble staying erect while I'm walking. And,
I sometimes have trouble, but there's pills for that.
For
men.
Not for me.
Drink a V8.
Okay, let me put it this way. I woke up this morning, and there was a freaking bird in my house.
Ooh. Now, that's interesting, because an old wives' tale, well, there's dueling old wives' tales about that.
Uh-huh. Some, that signifies death?
Some old wives feel that it's a portent of doom, and some old wives feel that it's actually a good luck.
Well, all I know is I had to chase a bird out of my house this morning.
And I understand that's the one thing that you do not like to do. Weren't you saying that, maybe it wasn't you, but somebody was saying that they were just scared to death when a bird got in their house and then they had to have their husband chase it out or something. Somebody had to come home from work.
That's not so much me.
It wasn't you? Okay.
You would have laughed your butt off had you seen me trying to get this bird out of my house.
How did it get in?
I have no idea.
You may want to find
that
hole.
I got home. It had to, like, come in the door when I came in. Because I checked. All my windows are closed. So I have no idea how this freaking bird got in my house.
Well,
all I know is I woke up this morning because I kept hearing this noise. And you know me and my house. I'm used to hearing strange noises in my house.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a new strange noise. So I got up, plus, you know, everyone and their brother has a key to my house, so I wanted to know if someone was here.
Right.
And there's a bird in between my blinds and my
window. I got a copy of your key. Thanks for reminding me to give to my brother.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yes.
Yes, because he should have one.
Yes, my brother doesn't have one yet. So everybody else and their brothers have them, but not me.
Right. So there is this bird caught between my blinds and my window, trying to fly through my window to get out of my house.
Wow.
And it wasn't working. Hysterically.
So how did you chase it out? Did you grab a blanket?
What's a blanket going to do?
I don't know. All I know is that whenever we've had to chase birds out of our house, we grab towels and blankets, and we chase after it with the towels.
Tennis rackets.
Tennis rackets.
Well, I guess that's so you don't get crapped on. I don't know, but I don't know what a blanket would have done for me, but I opened up my front door and my back door, and I propped them both open, and then I chased it around the house.
Wow.
You know, there was a in my old truck. I actually had a bird in it once.
Yeah.
It was when I was working in Detroit, and I must have like jumped up when I opened up the door and got out before I closed it. It was in my vehicle and it pooped everywhere.
Oh, bad.
So when all of a sudden I open up the door and all of a sudden this bird's fluttering in my face. I'm like, ah! It's for the crap out of me.
Are there any old wives' tales about birds in your vehicle, Doug?
Not that I am aware of. So I am
unaware. Well, yeah, because ironically, you saying that makes me laugh. Because I got online this morning and started looking up, like, old wives' tales.
Because
I knew I had heard one about a bird being in your house. And
right.
everyone I found said that it signifies death.
Well, I've had enough of
lately. Was it a raven or a crow or something?
I don't know if it signifies my death or the death of someone I know. Because, I mean, if I have to choose, I'll choose. But I won't say who at this time. But, no, seriously. It doesn't specify whether it, like, signifies your own death or the death of someone you know.
Both of Liefeld are so inaccurate that
they're just so vague. I know. I wish they would be more specific. Oh, exactly. I want to know if I'm going to like step in front of a bus or get hit by another high-low tomorrow or something.
Man.
You got to watch out for those high-lows.
Hit by another high-low. Well,
yeah,
Well, I have to say, I've heard two versions. I've heard good luck, I've heard bad luck. So I don't know. Don't know.
Well, that's great.
But the internet is full of the bad luck one, right? The bring
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah. It's just death. And doom.
Death and doom. Not good. Not looking good. Maybe we should replan our party. Either do it, like, as soon as possible, just in case.
Well, I'll just get you guys the key to the house, and then if I do die, you can still have it here.
Oh, okay.
And then yeah, just clean up real good before you leave.
Okay.
And I'll like, write my mom a note or something saying you guys are going to be here. It'll be okay.
Oh, okay, great.
And I'll haunt you during the party, along with my dirty old man.
Oh, that'll be excellent. Excellent, because we're gonna be broadcasting, so it'll go out worldwide.
So if you all get goosed during the show, that's my dirty old man.
Oh, okay, but he doesn't tend to goose men, does he?
He doesn't tend to goose anyone. He just turns the radio up when I'm in the shower.
Oh, okay.
And rattles doors when Will's here watching movies with me.
Yeah. Huh.
Interesting.
He
wants attention,
He's my dirty old man, and I like him. I'm very comfortable with him.
Excellent. Well, then...
Have I taken this phone call about as far as you thought I could take it?
Pretty much. But I'm really glad that you called. Because it gives us a chance to test it. You know, because I haven't talked to you in, like, a day or two. Well,
I know,
actually,
I was having withdrawals.
I've talked to the Nextel lady quite a bit through the past week.
Well, you and her are having an affair anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Right. Me and the Nextel lady get along really, really well. But the...
Bonnie's at the bar. You want to talk to me?
That's what she says, the little hussy.
Uh-huh.
Every time he calls,
I'm at
the bar.
You're at the bar, yep. And you were on Thursday when I actually got through to you. She put me through. And
amazingly, I could hear you in all that nonsense.
I don't know how you could, because that was... here's how the call went. Bonnie answers, and it goes... All this noise, and she goes, hello? And I... Well, she didn't say it like that, but she says, hello? And I said, oh, hi, Bonnie. And I said, like, are you at the concert or whatever? And she goes, no, I just have a few friends over.
Yeah, all 5,000 of them.
I just have a few thousand friends over, that's all.
So,
I'm preparing early for the anniversary show.
So, yeah, I thought that was something, because... Yeah, and then I had to let you go, and then I left my phone in the car and didn't get your return call, so I apologize for that as well.
That's
but,
okay.
man. So, yeah, that
seriously,
call.
When's our next trip? I need another vacation already.
The next trip will probably be in April, first or second weekend.
Okay.
I gotta get with people on that.
Bonnie wants a March trip.
The March trip's to your house.
Great, because that'll so be like a vacation for me.
Actually, I'm working on some stuff up by where I just moved to. So,
okay.
I'll keep you informed on that.
Cool.
Okay.
Cool.
I haven't even told Doug about it yet. So.
No, I've not.
Tell me about
anymore.
It before Doug.
I'm probably going to tell him as soon as I get done here.
No, you know. Can't now.
In 3 minutes, we end the show, and I'll be telling him.
No, seriously, you can't.
How are you going
to
be up
there? Look, I'm going to die soon. You have to tell me first.
Dang bird. That's all I got to say. Man.
What kind of bird was it?
Seriously, I don't know.
Bald eagle.
Like, I analyze birds for a living. Good God, I'm an auto worker.
Was it a woodpecker? Don't just spit, pop.
Stop.
It was a bird, Will.
Okay.
It was in my... What I want to know is, even if it came in the door, when I came in the door, how did I not notice a bird coming in the door with me?
Sometimes, and this is how they get in our house, and it hasn't happened in like 20 years or so, but they can get in through, you know, there's like a vent kind of thing that goes up through the roof for the furnace.
Right.
And if they get under the little hat thing or whatever it is that covers it,
do you think
they would
crawl cook
down?
It? You'd have a crispy bird.
It might have been a little uncomfortable on the way down, but I don't know. I never crawled in the house through the vent, so I don't know.
Maybe you should try it sometime.
Seriously, Doug, the day of the anniversary party, try crawling through my vent.
Okay, I'll give that a good go. You know,
really, I just want to see you on the roof.
All I can say is I've had enough of passing away to last me for a while because, you know, first, of course, was George, Nicole's father. That was earlier this month. And then my best friend, Craig's grandmother, passed away on last month.
Sweet lady.
And I went to the funeral Thursday night, the funeral home on Thursday night, back to the funeral home for the service on Friday. So I've had enough of that.
So that's two, right?
You know, it's interesting that you should say that because that's what went through my head.
They come in threes.
That's what went through my head, and I can't think of anybody.
What happens with my group of friends?
And you're the one who had the bird in her house, huh? Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
So you guys better be really nice to me. Or I will haunt you something fierce.
Okay. We will be nice to you.
Watch out
for
those
But I won't let you get any evidence from me at all.
Oh, man.
Only IDT people.
Oh, man. Well,
as Sean and Misty are jumping up and down. Yay!
We're going to get full apparitions of Bobby. You guys, I have to close the show.
Yeah.
It is now 9 o'clock. We have to make way for W Paranormal. Right?
Exactly.
Bonnie?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so that's what we'll do. We'll make way for the next very, very, hopefully very interesting show. If you found Ghostly Talk interesting, I know for a fact you're going to love W Paranormal. W Paranormal follows Ghostly Talk. It's on for 2 hours from 9 p.m. till, 11 p.m. Eastern Time on Pioneer, pioneer.rolo.net. And our own show is, of course, Ghostly Talk. It's at www.ghostlytalk.com, live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We've had a very special guest, George Lutz, on earlier, and a very dear person in all of our hearts. Bonnie called in afterwards. So I'd like to thank both of you for having been on the show. And I'd like to thank each and every one of you that listened to this either live or in the archives, because without you guys... We'd just be doing this for ourselves. And while there's something to that, because I learn a lot, it's always better to learn in groups. And learning with all of you at the same time has really, really changed my life. So with that, I have to say, stay tuned for W Paranormal. I am Doug.
I'm Will.
And I'm Bonnie.
Yay!
Okay, and this has been Ghostly Talk. See you next week.
Deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.